One of our most recognizable birds has been returning to northern Wisconsin over the past few weeks. You might recognize its call. That's the common loon, which migrates north this time of year for its breeding season. Late last month, though, loons fell to the ground in Wisconsin after icy conditions and made it impossible for some of them to keep flying. That kind of fallout event is rare, but it's just one danger loons face. Research shows that over the last 30 years, their numbers have dropped in Wisconsin as their shoreline habitats have changed. Marge Gibson is founder of the Raptor Education Group in Anago. She helped rescue some of the grounded loons in her area. Marge, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
And Walter Piper is a professor of biology at Chapman University and a scientist with the National Loon Center. You can find his work on Wisconsin loons at loonproject.org. Walter, welcome to Wisconsin.
Thanks a lot.
Well, Marge, can you tell us a little more about what happened a couple of weeks back with this fallout during the migration?
Well, we had a situation where we had an unusual atmospheric condition, whereas it was we had kind of warm weather for a bit and it was raining. And then at altitude, there was a cold front and it was forming ice crystals or ice droplets. That was exactly what the loons were migrating through. And unfortunately, it landed on the loons and sort of coated them with this clear ice. This is something that's happened three times since I've been back in Wisconsin since 1990. So it's not an event that occurs all the time, but it is an interesting problem that that our migrating birds face, especially the larger bodied birds like a loon.
And Marge, you and others were able to successfully help at least some of these loons get back into the air?
Oh, yes. We just released our eighth one. And beyond that, those are the birds that were admitted with injuries from falling. They fall like a rock from the sky, not a gentle landing like they're used to. So they do sustain internal bleeding, sometimes collapsed lungs, other types of internal injuries. So it takes a little bit for them to get back to normal, and then they're released when that happens. The good thing is we didn't lose any that came in as patients. People were reporting finding them and releasing them on small ponds, which we're still trying to capture them out of and then get them back to larger water.
And Walter, this is a rare event, as Marge said, but you've been investigating longer-term trends for northern Wisconsin's loons. What has been happening with the population?
Well, nothing good. The last 30 years, I've been working on them for 29 years now. This will be my 29th year coming up. And an analysis that we've done of reproductive rates and also survival rates of young adults has shown that those have both fallen. Fewer chicks have been fledged by pairs, and also young adult survival has plummeted. And so the overall population in our study area, which is mainly in Oneida County, it covers about 10% of the entire state, has plummeted about 22% in the last quarter century. So we're pretty alarmed about the pattern.
Do we know what's causing that decline?
No, we don't. That's the $128,000 question. We know a lot of different factors that hurt loons and could be causing it. And of course, we're having just recently found this pattern. We're looking feverishly to try to find a cause. We have a number of potential suspects, but nothing definite. We want to be very careful in before we point the finger. So we haven't yet been able to do that.
And Marge, can you talk about handling loons, which you have done as part of this effort to get them back in the air? We want to be really careful and maybe leave it to the experts.
Right, exactly. Loons are one of the more dangerous birds that we handle here at Reggie, and we do an awful lot of eagles and so on and so forth. But loons have that dagger on the front of their face that they can use really successfully. It's their hunting technique as well. So it really requires some expert handling when you're faced with one, unless it's very, very sick, very injured, that sort of thing. We do have people help us handle them, but we give them some really clear instructions before that happens.
Now, Walter, you mentioned that we don't know exactly why populations are going down, but that said, are there things we can do that we know are going to help loons, especially when it comes to things like habitat?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the factors that we know is statistically hurting the population, or at least hurting adult survival, is simply the number of humans around. And of course, that's something that we can scratch our heads about and be frustrated, I suppose, but it can't really reverse that trend easily. You can give loons space when you see them on the water, slow down when you see the adults, and especially when you see the chicks. The smaller the chicks, the slower you should go. But really, their impacts, the main impacts that we can make, the positive impacts that humans can have to do with recreational activity, especially fishing activity. For example, lead sinkers are a major source of mortality for loons, and they seem worse and worse, and Marge can talk more about that as the years go on. And it seems a fairly easy lift to say, hey, we got to stop using lead sinkers, and we got to fish more carefully, and we've got to report loons that are in trouble, that are caught in fishing lines and caught on fishing lines. So those sorts of adjustments we hope to see. Other states have made them. New England states have banned lead. Minnesota is in the process of doing so, it seems. And so we're a step behind, I'm afraid, in that regard in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Marge, what do you see when it comes to lead in water or even on land with loons and other birds?
Well, we're seeing more loons come in with lower levels of lead, and we're not exactly sure how that affects them in a sublethal way, but we are testing all of them. But when they swallow a lead sinker, for instance, that's not something that they can recover from unless it's surgically removed. So we do that here. Our veterinarians do the lavage method to remove them, but it is a complicated process. So I think that just as Walter was saying, just changing some of our habits and becoming more responsible for the wildlife around us is really an important thing, whether it's taking care of fishing line and fishing hooks, don't throw them out. Be sure that they're disposed of permanently and in a way that no other animal can get them. Power boats. Loons can't get out of the way when they have chicks. The chicks can't fly. So don't race at them because they're going to be injured. So there's a lot of things that just using common sense and respect for wildlife will go a long way in helping.
And Walter, you've been looking at the loons here in Wisconsin for quite a while. What kind of questions are you still working on to try to answer?
Well, I'm a behavioral ecologist, so the truth is that I am first someone who's interested in the territorial behavior, and that's been we've had a rich trove of discoveries just with respect to territorial behavior. But because suddenly I see that the population seems to be declining, I've suddenly turned more into an ecologist, and now I'm desperately trying to figure out what's hurting the loon population. But, you know, among my findings are findings such as the male loons are the ones, surprisingly, that select the nest site. And we know that from all of our marks, a marking of birds and following of the pairs very, very closely. Surprisingly, the males choose the nest sites. Males fight harder than females. Both sexes fight for territories, but males fight a bit harder and more often die in battle than females. We also know that loons that are hatched and reared on small lakes seek to settle on small lakes 4 to 6 years later when they themselves have reached adulthood and are competing for a territory. So a loon from a very big lake is going to try to find another big lake for its own breeding purposes. So those are a few of the findings.
Interesting. We'll leave it there for now. Walter, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. Thank you.
And Marge, thanks for being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Marge Gibson is a founder of the Raptor Education Center in Antigo, and Walter Piper is a loon expert and professor at Chapman University. You can find his research at loonproject.org. They talked to us about threats facing Wisconsin's loons and a rare fallout event last month when icy conditions stranded the birds, some of them during their migration north.